Our first scripture reading this morning will come from Isaiah, the book of Isaiah. We'll be reading from chapter 6 in the book of Isaiah. And it is found on page 591 of your pew Bibles. So at this time, let us listen to God's word for us. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Above him stood the seraphim. Each had six wings. With two he covered his face, and with two he covered his feet, and with two he flew. And one called to another and said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." And the foundations of the thresholds shook at the voice of him who called, and the house was filled with smoke. And I said, "Woe is me, for I am lost, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." Then flew one of the seraphim to me, having his hand in his hand a burning coal, which he had taken with thongs from the altar. And he touched my mouth and said, "Behold, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away and your sin forgiven." And I heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send, and who will go for us?" And then I said, "Here am I. Send me." Our second scripture reading today comes from Paul's letter to the church at Rome. We'll be reading from the 8th chapter of the book of Romans, verses 12 through 17, and it is found on page 983 of your pew Bibles. And so again, let us listen to God's word for us. "So then, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of sonship. When we cry, 'Abba, Father,' it is the Spirit himself bearing witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and fellow heirs with Christ, provided we suffer with him, in order that we may also be glorified with him." This is the word of the Lord. We are debtors. That's what the Apostle Paul reminds us in the beginning of that reading from the book of Romans that we just read. We are all people who owe an immense obligation to someone else. That's what a debtor is. And we are reminded this morning that we are debtors. I suspect that we all know that deep down inside, even in our pull yourself up by the bootstraps kind of individualism, we all know that we are here because someone else has paid our way. We are debtors. This weekend is Memorial Day weekend, a time when we remember those who have made the ultimate sacrifice in the service of our country. And I usually don't like to mix civic and national holidays with the Sunday morning worship time for several reasons. One is because our civic and national holidays are about us, and we always need to be careful to make sure that our worship time is always exclusively about God, God the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We have this 1 hour on Sunday mornings out of all the hours of the week to devote to God, and the temptation is always to make even this hour sometimes about us. And so we need again to be careful that this is the hour that is devoted to God and not to us. Two, we need to remember that God is not an American. The God that we serve is not just for Americans, but God is a God who loves everybody, who cares for everyone, not just we Americans. Sometimes we're tempted to wrap God in our flag in red, white, and blue and believe that God is somehow our particular, exclusive God. But that's just another way of worshiping ourselves and trying to keep ourselves at the center of things. But we're reminded that God is not American. God does not belong to us. God is God. We belong to God, if anything, and not God to us. And three, most of our civic and national stories in some ways have to do with violence. Not just our American stories, of course, but most of the stories of the world are stories that are grounded in violence. And we sometimes have this tendency to glorify violence. But I believe that we Christians should never glorify violence. What makes our Christian story different from the stories of the world is that God does not use violence to overcome evil in the world. Instead, the way that God overcomes evil is by God's own willingness to suffer our violence on the cross. That's the way that God overcomes wickedness and evil in the world. But having said all of that, I have always had a warm place in my heart for Memorial Day. I've always been grateful for all of those who have selflessly sacrificed everything in service to our country. And not just our soldiers and our sailors and our airmen, but for all of those who have, down through our history, struggled and fought and sacrificed and died so that all of us Americans can enjoy the freedoms that we enjoy today. That's a big part of what this day is about, what this weekend is about. We are free, and we are free because people have died for our freedom. People have given their lives so that we can live in freedom, the freedom to worship, the freedom to vote, the freedom to participate in government. We have all of these freedoms because there have been people down through history who have been willing to make the ultimate sacrifice so that we can all enjoy those freedoms. So the question that I would ask on this Memorial Day weekend is, what have we as Americans done with their sacrifices? How have we lived up to our obligations as free citizens to honor those who have given everything so that we can enjoy the freedoms that we enjoy? It's been over 30 years ago when I was a young second lieutenant stationed at Aberdeen Proving Grounds in Maryland that I took a trip to Washington, D.C. to see the Vietnam Memorial on Memorial Day. It was a powerful experience, because there were veterans from all over, Vietnam veterans, Korean War veterans, World War II veterans. It was kind of a solemn experience. It was more like a religious pilgrimage than anything. There was someone there blowing a bugle. There was someone there keeping time with a drum. And I remember being overwhelmed with feelings of awe on that particular day. But the thing that most impressed me about the wall, which was a 250-foot black granite wall that had the names of all of those who had fallen in Vietnam inscribed on the wall, over 58,000 names. And the things that impressed me was seeing the loved ones of those who had fallen being near that wall, some of them touching the names of their loved ones, others kissing those names, some of them taking paper and rubbing the names so that they would have a memento of their loved ones who had fallen in battle. And I remember thinking to myself, these are the people who we are indebted to. These are the people whose sacrifice, whose courage, whose discipline is responsible for our being able to live as free people. The Vietnam War, of course, was a controversial war, and I did not know anyone who died in that war, though my own father had served in that war. But there is nothing controversial about the service of the brave young men and women who gave their lives in fighting that war. And if they could give their lives, if they could sacrifice and exhibit courage, then surely we ourselves could engage in the requisite degrees of sacrifice and courage and discipline in the exercising of our own freedoms in this country. People died so that we could have freedom. But what have we done with our freedoms? And how have we lived out the obligation that we owe to those who have died for the sake of our country? Over the last several days, I've received several advertisements announcing various Memorial Day sales taking place this weekend. And I appreciate it. I love sales. I'm always looking for a good sale. But I have to wonder, is this what all of those brave, courageous men and women gave their lives for? So that I could get 70% off of all dress shirts? People have died so that we could be free. But freedom for many of us is freedom to do whatever it is we want to do, no matter how ridiculous or how trivial. People died so that we could have freedom to worship, and many of us are here because we have been afforded that freedom. And yet there are many Americans who find it difficult even to get out of bed on a Sunday morning to come and worship, despite the fact that people have died so that we could have that freedom. There are some places in the world where people don't have that freedom. Some places in the world where people are not free. And believe it or not, when you go there, the churches are full, at least much fuller than they are here in our own country, because people value that freedom, that opportunity to come and to worship. People have died so that we would have the opportunity to vote and participate in our government, and yet many of us Americans could care less. We could care less about voting. We could care less about participating in government. We are more interested in what the Kardashians are doing, or in what Harry and what's her name, Meghan Markle are doing, than we are in the inner workings of our own government, because to do that would mean that we would actually have to take the time and the discipline to learn about what's going on in our government. But people have died so that we might have those freedoms. And yet, what have we done with those freedoms? We are debtors. And we are debtors not only to those who have died in service to our country, not only debtors to those who served in the past, but we are debtors to those who are currently serving, those who are currently protecting our nation. And I would think that we owe them something. something other than the manufactured patriotism that is often on display during professional football games or basketball games. We owe them something other than the occasional thank you for your service or the bumper sticker about supporting our troops. Certainly, we owe them something. One of my favorite authors is Andrew Bosovich, who is a retired colonel from the Army. He spent 23 years in the Army. His first assignment right out of West Point was to Vietnam, so he knows something a little bit about the military and about war. His own son, Andrew Bosovich Jr., also served in the Army as a second lieutenant in Iraq, where he was killed in 2007. And Bosovich rarely mentions his son in that episode, but he has written a number of books critical of our relationship with our own military. And when I mean our, he means not only our public officials and not only the generals, but all of us, all of our relationship with our military. He acknowledges that there's been a kind of a decoupling from the general populace, from our military. It's the tradition, or had been the tradition in our nation, of the citizen soldier. When our country was in trouble, it was up to us citizens to volunteer or to go to fight. That's the way it was in World War I. That's the way it was in World War II. That's the way it was in the Korean War. That's the way it was in the Vietnam War. But today we have an all-volunteer army, a professional army. But it's an army that, for the most part, is decoupled from most of us. Only a few of us have people who are serving in the military. Few of us have any skin in the game, to use the common phraseology. And because we don't have any skin in the game, or because we don't have anyone in the military, it's like we don't really care what our military is doing. Our own country has been involved in war in the last 15 years, and some Americans don't even know that, let alone to care about what our military is doing in those faraway places like Afghanistan, like Iraq, like Syria. We could care less. We're not vigilant enough of our political leaders to ask some of the hard questions about what they are asking our young men and women to do, the young men and women who are protecting us, the young men and women who we are indebted to. Some of us as Americans don't care. In past generations, we sacrificed when we went to war. In World War II, people sacrificed. They were rations, and we all had to tighten our belts, and taxes were raised, but not anymore. In our own society, we can be in war. We can send our young people off in war, and we don't have to sacrifice anything. In fact, we don't raise taxes. We do the very opposite. We cut taxes. Because we don't want to sacrifice anything. What in the world have we done with our freedoms? What are we doing with our freedoms? We're asking other people to fight for us and protect us and to go forward in the world in our name. People that we owe a great debt to. People who show courage and discipline and sacrifice, and yet we show very courage and discipline and sacrifice. We don't want anything that will tear us away from our computers and from our social networks and from the Kardashians or whatever it is that divert our interest. Bosovich says that what we probably need is some kind of national service, not necessarily a draft, but a national service that young people can go and give back a little bit to the country. And I'm not sure about that. I'm not here to advocate that one way or the other. And I'm not even here to tell us how to be better citizens, but I am here to remind all of us that we too are debtors. We are here because we are indebted to God. We are indebted to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who gave everything for our freedom. Every Sunday we have a memorial service. We are memorializing what our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ has done for us. And because of Him, because of His sacrifice, we are all a part of the same family. Because of His sacrifice, we are all inheritors of the kingdom to come. But the Apostle Paul reminds us in our passage of the Romans that that does not mean that we have the freedom now to do anything that we want. Christ has set us free. But it's not the freedom to do anything that we want, because we are debtors. We are obligated to God. And Paul reminds us that for all of us who are in Christ, that will entail a certain amount of suffering. I know we don't usually like to hear that, but Paul reminds us that we are moving towards a better world, that we are on a new exodus, and that God is leading us by way of the Spirit to a new creation. A new creation where God's will one day be all in all. But in the meantime, we are called to live as God's faithful people. We are called to live as people who know that we have been set free to love God and to love one another. If Jesus could sacrifice everything so that we might have life, then surely we too can sacrifice in order to bring that kingdom to bear in our world right now. We are God's people. We belong to the Lord. We belong to the household of God, but we are debtors. We are obligated to the God who loves us, the God who cares for us, and the God who calls us forth to go out into this world and to bear witness to what God is doing in the midst of our world. So hopefully we will have the discipline and the courage and the willingness to sacrifice that our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ showed on the cross, because we are indebted to Him. Let us pray. Gracious and loving Father, we give you thanks this morning for your great love for all of us. Lord Jesus, we give you thanks for your faithfulness, for your sacrifice on behalf of all of us. God, Holy Spirit, we give you thanks for leading us and guiding us and empowering us to be your people. Help all of us, those who are indebted to you, to live lives that are worthy of our calling as your people. And we ask these things in the name of the one who gave everything for us, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.